From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Father, tonight, your grace is indeed enough for us. You gave up your life on the cross so we could stand here tonight. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins. It still washes away our sins. Thank you for the cleansing power in the blood of Jesus. Tonight, we've gathered here. We thank you for what the blood is just about to do. Wash sins away and to make new various souls and various lives. Thank you that tonight all glory will be unto your name. I come against every power of the devil, every familiar spirit, every demon within the four corners of this property. I cast them out. I take authority over the atmosphere. I say, let your word come forth in power, and let ears be open to hear your word clearly. Let hearts be affected tonight. Thank you, Father, for what you have done tonight in our lives. In Jesus' name, somebody said, hallelujah, you may be seated. Wow, you're welcome. Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17. Isn't it exciting to be out serving the Lord? You know, I think like Pastor Gerald was saying, you know, this clubbing thing, people can take it to World Cup, you know. You see people who travel. I tell you this, there are places in Guyana, people just travel and just go to club. They just travel and just go. And club is just dancing to music and just drinking some little cheap high wine. People don't even have money to drink well. You know, because there are drinks that are very costly. But, you know, people are so desperate. But people can travel. They can move from one place. From the, like how we have come from Georgetown, we've come to Westmar. It's not strange. We do it for other things. It's just for God and for the church that we hardly try to do. So it's a good thing that we are here tonight. What do you think? Yeah. And by the grace of God, we are taking salvation rallies throughout wherever our churches are, where we don't have churches, we are going there for salvation rallies. Hallelujah. And I'm looking forward to you taking a bus by yourself and coming to where we are to support us for souls to be saved. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 1. The Bible says that, what does it say? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, saying. How many believe that the Bible is the word of God? Is it, that is the point from where we can even start our conversation tonight. Many people don't believe that the Bible is God's word to us. Many people don't believe that. Many people believe that it's some white man who wrote the Bible and tried to use it against the black man. But if it is only the black man that the white man wanted to control, so what is the? How can you explain the Chinese and the Koreans who have become Christians now? What is the white man getting from them? So the Bible is indeed the word of God to us. It has actually stood the test of times. If you write a letter, to your wife or to your husband or to your mother or to your father, and it can last thousands of years, then your letter is a very powerful letter. Many, many letters don't last. By the time you see Jack Robinson, the ink is gone. You see, it's just like this bank, Scotia Bank and this Republic Bank, the receipts they give you from the ATM. Faith. My God. You go and you punch your PIN code and then you withdraw whatever amount. And then you, if you are someone who is very meticulous, you want to keep your receipt. Lizzo, my God. You want to keep your receipt and, you know, for your account or whatever. I tell you, just a few weeks. A few weeks is even long. A couple of days, you take it out. You see that the paper is nice, clean, white, and there's nothing on it. No evidence of withdrawal or deposit. So God says in verse 3 that what man soever there be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox or lamb or goat in the camp, or that killeth it out of the camp and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer an offering unto the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood shall be imputed unto that man. In other words, blood will have to be shed for that man. He hath shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people. When you talk about shedding blood for people, it's a very common thing. It's a very simple thing. Even here in our country, if you go and kill somebody's brother, I can promise you, they will also come and kill you. Blood for blood. It has happened several times in our society here in Guyana. It comes in the news. Somebody shoots a friend. Or somebody shoots somebody who belongs to a gang or to some group. And then people come and they take revenge and they also take out the blood. So he says, anybody who does that, he shall be guilty of the blood. And the Bible says, verse 5, to the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices which they offer in the open field, even that they may bring them unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, and offer them for peace offerings unto the Lord. And the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and burn the fat for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a-whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. And thou shalt say unto them, whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers which sojourn among you, that offereth a burnt offering or sacrifice, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer it unto the Lord, even that man shall be cut off from among the people. So if you are doing any sacrifice, there's a place you have to do it. I say, if you are making any sacrifice, God is saying, there's a place you have to bring the sacrifice. You have to bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation. Otherwise, you'll be cut off from among the people. The Bible says in verse 11, that for the life of the flesh, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Are you still here? Yes. Oh, you are going home. You see? I say it all the time. Don't be in a habit of coming to church and getting up and going away. It's a bad thing. Don't. It's not a nice, thing. Not to me, but to the one whom we have gathered onto. Right? Now, one thing that we must understand is biblical tradition. What we call biblical tradition. There are so many things that in the Bible days was done that we have actually forfeited as even Christians. One of the many challenges we face as Christians is to be able to live what we know as the life we know of, to begin to live a life that Christians live. It has always been a challenge, and I think it's always going to be a challenge.
Many people don't know about Christian culture. Many people don't know about Christian tradition. There are traditions, there are ways Christians do things. Many people don't understand that. So when we become Christians, we are Guyanese and we are still Guyanese. When we become Christians, we are still Bajans. We are still Bajans. You can easily not recognize the difference between who we have become and who we used to be. But you see, the Bible is littered with how. You see, when I talk about traditions and cultures, I'm talking about how things are done in the Bible. Those are the things we should actually adopt as part of our lives. See, for example, when the Bible says that you shall honor thy father and thy mother. I mean, excuse me, my father doesn't like me, so what's your problem? Why should I like my father? But you know, you adapt what the Bible is saying so that your father is somebody you honor. Because if you are going to look at fathers and mothers and what they do right and what they do wrong, you will not honor them. But you will change from that and really honor father and mother because you are trying to adapt what the Bible is teaching us to do. I'm trying to say something. Are you with me? Are you alive? Are you here? Yeah. So one of that's a very, very important thing we should really look at. So that when we read the Bible, you have to look at the Bible and say, which one of these can I adopt? Which one of these can I take for myself? Which one of these can I actually use? Can I practice? And that is the gap between us becoming real born again new men. Because we read the Bible, if we read it, then it is very difficult also to actually practice what the Bible wants us to do. So God chose a group of people in this world and gave them statutes and laws and traditions and ways and means to live their lives. And one of them was that the blood of animals was something, if you go to the verse below, it will tell you that because the blood of animals was so unique and special to God, he actually asked people not to eat the blood. Yeah. He said, don't eat. That's how many people say, blood pudding. You know, is it good to eat? And some people even go, oh, my Reverend, Bishop, Pastor, is blood pudding something good to eat? Yeah. Because in the verse 11, he says, for the life of the flesh, it's in the blood. In other words, when you eat blood, you are actually eating a human being. So you are a cannibal when you eat blood. That is what God taught the people that he selected from the service of this world. He said, as far as you are my people, this is what I need you to understand. As for blood that runs through a human being, blood that runs through an animal, do not ever drink or eat it, because the life of that being is in the blood. And not only did he say the life of the person is in it. So when you drink blood, you're actually drinking a human being, like I said. Yeah. That's why witches and wizards and all these evil people, they drink blood. Because once you drink blood, it's like you live longer, you get more life. Yeah. And if you look at abscesses and things in the body, it is a collection of blood. Blood, it sucks blood. Anything that sucks blood from your life can actually kill you, Roxanne. It can actually kill you. Anything in your life that sucks blood or that leads to a blood loss can easily kill you. People can bleed to death. Because the blood is that which has life. Not only did God explain this to us, he said that the blood, the second part of the verse, he said, and I, God, have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. It means that the only time blood should be seen should be at the altar. Anything apart from the altar that concerns blood is not right. Blood is not supposed to be used or shed or be seen anywhere apart from what God calls the altar of sacrifice. He says that the blood at the altar is what actually makes atonement for you and I. Atonement means the blood now, that because of the life in it, it actually buys you, it gives you top up of life. So the more sacrifices of blood you give to God on the altar, the more chances you get to live. That is why in the tradition of the Israelites, every year it was customary, is that Raj? It's customary to take blood, to take a bull, to take a sheep, and then go to the temple, and then you offer it as a sacrifice. It actually gives you 1 year extension of your staying permit here on earth. Because remember, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. So if there's nothing to atone, to actually pacify God for what you have done for the year, if there's no blood to actually exchange and give you some little grace, it means you are dying. It's a wahoo. He says, and that's what I'm saying. God says, you see, it's very interesting. You can bring Edo leaves. You can bring Bora. You can gather whatever you want to gather at the altar and put fire on it. It does not extend and give you life that you actually or otherwise cannot receive. And I'm saying this for us all to understand that it doesn't matter what religion you talk about. It takes blood. It has to. It must have. You see, it needs blood. I don't care whatever faith you say you believe in. If there is no blood to buy back and to give you extension of life, the religion is not a good one. It is on this same basis that in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22, the Bible says that all things are by the law. For by the law, all things, and almost all things are by the law, purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, it's no remission. It means that as long as you are a human being, if there's no blood shed, you are a sinner. And once you are a sinner, the Bible says that the glory of God, you are falling short of the glory of God. And the Bible says the wages of that sin is death. So you are going to go to hell if no blood is shed to actually buy and extend you life that comes from God. You see, for the life we live, the life we live in sin, it actually shortens our lives. For the things we do in life, the sin, the darkness, and all the things that we are into, it shortens our life. And therefore, God now brings in extra. It is only God who gives life. It's only God who gives life. So your chance to live to see 2019, it is God who will give it to you. And it only comes by a blood that must be shed or was shed someday. Hallelujah. All things. If your sins are going to be washed away, it takes blood. So let's say you believe in what? What do you believe in? You believe in Sai Baba? Or you believe you are Buddhist? Or you believe in Selassie? It's not a problem. If you believe in those things, then you must actually trace it to a God who doesn't believe in the shedding of blood. Because the God that I know, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, he said that if he is going to extend a life, he needs to see blood. When the people of Israel was getting ready to leave Egypt, the only reason why many people lived and didn't die that night, the only reason why many firstborns were exempted from dying was because of blood. And the Bible tells me that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says God is God. He said, I am the God and I change not. So the things that he has been actually requiring and requesting for from time immemorial, many of those things have not changed. That is why I think Rejoiner was the one who spoke about Zipporah. How many of you know Zipporah? You know, have you heard the name Zipporah before? Oh, she works at GRA. You know her, right? Yeah. Calvin used to work at Zipporah. Zipporah was one of Moses' wives, isn't it? And the Bible says that one day, I think there was an angel appeared. And then Zipporah took a stone or something and cut off somebody's... private stuff. Where's Andrew? Cut off the foreskin of somebody's private stuff. Because I think he saw, I don't remember the story very clearly, but he saw an angel of destruction. And the angel actually halted or stopped the mission that he was on because of what Zipporah did. When you cut off the foreskin of a private staff, what comes out? So whether we like it or not, whether we are in 2018, whether we are in 2040, whether we are 2007, whether we are in Guyana, whether we are in America, whether we are in the Caribbean, wherever we are, this law remains the law. And the law is that for all things are only purged by the shedding of blood. That is why even God himself, when God decided to take away the sins of the world, he could not do anything else but actually upgrade the type of blood. Many people tell you, oh, we are in the New Testament, so this doesn't work, that doesn't work, that doesn't work, that doesn't work. When you get to heaven, you will see. You say that you will not go come back to do some more. Mrs. Black, is that you at the back there? God himself could not violate his law of using blood to give life, to extend life. You look at our blood donation drives in these kind of countries and places. They say, oh, donate blood. Blood gives life. Blood. Save life. And people who go for blood drive, blood donation drive, people go and give blood, and then it's in the news and in the newspaper, and then it's a very big show. Because when you give blood, it's life you're giving. So God one day decided that, you know what, this goat, sheep, these kind of animals, and the blood that we are getting from them, the extension of our life is just 1 year. I mean, how many of us want to live till next year, July? Wayne, you want to live till next year, July? Only? Human beings, we are greedy. Everybody wants to have excess of things and plenty of things. When it comes to money, we want more. When it comes to clothing, we want more. When it wants to come to happiness, we want more happiness. Comes to you, want more joy. Whatever it is, houses, riches, everybody wants, human beings want more of everything. So when God realized that the blood of sheep and the blood of goats only could give us 1 year, and then every 1 year we have to come and renew our staying permit. Hey. When I came to Guyana many years ago, I went to apply for a staying permit. at the Ministry of Home Affairs then. Yeah. I went and applied. I came here in March. I applied in March. And I was waiting. When I applied, I asked the people at the office who took my application. I said, so when should I come back? They said, oh, check after a month. Check after, you know, four weeks. I said, okay, no problem. Somebody who lived in Europe, I know when the white man says 1 month, when you go 1 month, it's real 1 month. But answer, it's real 1 month. So, after 1 month, I went. When I got there, nobody was minding me. So I had to try and press very gently, because these people, they have power, you know. It's like your fingers are in their mouth. If you don't play gentle and wise, they'll bite your fingers, you see. So I realized that this place, you know, I can't bring my things here, my white people kind of lifestyle here. These black people I've come to meet. So when I asked, so it's 1 month, so what is happening? Then finally a lady said, let me go and check. She went to check. She came back and said, oh, it's still processing. I said, okay. So when should I come? So check in, maybe next week. It was next week, every week, next week for 6 months. I tell you. 6 months. Every time next week. Every time next week. 6 months. And I couldn't start the church. Because the starting of the church was dependent on my staying permit. Because my pastor said, if the people will not allow you to live there, you can't start anything. How can you start something when the people say you can't live in the country? Then they cannot come and arrest you and say you are doing something illegal. They can't. So don't do anything. For 6 months, I will just wake up every morning, every day, every weekend. I say, when am I going to start this church? 6 good months. Then finally, they gave me 1 year. Every year, you have to reapply. Every year, you have to go and reapply. Go and be in a line and go and submit some documents. And then you have to give it to them. And then they'll do processing, processing, processing. One time, I applied and they were saying processing, processing. And I was called for a meeting back home at a headquarters in Ghana. And it was still the processing season. So I had to do an emergency, go and see the minister who was, you know, meeting the public on Fridays, every Friday. I think it was, you know, one minister who was there then, every Friday. So I went to him to see him personally, to ask him for clemency. Ask him for favor to take away the processing and make it processed. So I can go to the meeting that I've been called for. By the grace of God, he gave it to me, but not after he put some fear in me. When I went to him, he was sitting in an office and he had about 10 people around him. When you enter the office, if you drop a pin, you can hear it. I said, hey. So I said, good morning. He just shook his head. He didn't answer. Nobody also answered. That you don't know even who to ask. What should you stand or you should sit? So one lady pointed me to a chair. So I sat down. And he said, what can I do for you? And I told him, so I'm a missionary. I've been called for a meeting at my headquarters and it's processing. So I came to beg to be processed. Then he said, well, what's your name? I told him my name. He said, what's the name of your mission? I said, Lighthouse Chapel International. So, okay. And when are you traveling? And I told him. Then he asked me, am I training people? Even the Home Affairs Minister believes that I should train people. For those of you who don't believe that, you should be trained. So I was wondering, how come a minister of the government is asking me, a churchman, whether I'm training people? So I said, oh yes, I'm training people. In fact, the first question he asked was that, what is the difference between my church and the Guyana church? Oh, I came to be processed. You also are asking me Bible questions. So I had to answer the question in a very, very political way. Because I'm sure he was trying to find out, what do I mean by, maybe if I say that my church is better, maybe he'll say, brother, unprocessed. Non-processed. Disprocessed. anything negative processed. So I had to answer the thing well. Then he said, am I training people? Then I said, yes, I'm training people. Then he said, I have to train people because I will not be here forever. All of a sudden I said, hey, is this what man who sent me into this country? Because the person who sent me here did not tell me that, he didn't even tell me I will not be here forever. So when he said that, then I began to think that, hey, this man is probably going to give me 1 year, and the next time when I come, you say, Basman, your time done. Galang your way. Because that's what they do in Trinidad. If you go to Trinidad as a missionary, you only have 2 years in the country. After 2 years, you go back to where you came from. Yes. You can't go and do mission work in Trinidad. If you go, it's 2 years. Because for Trinidadians, mission work is somebody who has come from somewhere to do some little nice thing, but is going back to their country. So this mission work that we have come to come and stay here and become Guyanese, them people, them Trinidadians don't understand that at all. And you go back. If you can come back, you can only come back after 1 year. You can ask those who have gone to Trinidad, even not going to preach, and they'll tell you how it is. So, to get 1 year, one day, some crazy people came to our church in Georgetown, Isla Penitence. They came to the gate. They said they were looking for me. So, I think Reverend Cromer was there at that time. He was at the gate and he was asking them, why are they looking for me? They said, no, they want me. So he started exchanging. What do you want him for? What the people say? You should go back to Africa. You should go back. We'll make sure he goes back to Africa. So I said, but this guy, he didn't buy my ticket for me. He's not a pilot who brought me into this country. But you see, it could be scary because those days, I'm not Guyanese. I just have 1 year staying permit. I'm talking to you about life extension of life. So when you have 1 year, and then there's another 1 year, and you have issues where people don't like you, people are saying all kinds of things about you, you can actually become afraid that by the time your 1 year is coming to an end, you can easily not be around. Sometimes I stand bold in a church, and when I go home, I begin to think. I say, hey, so if somebody takes me to somebody and then they say this, and they say I should go back, what am I going to do? I have a church. So I could not wait, ladies and gentlemen, I could not wait for the home affairs, the immigration people to say, from now, you can stay here permanently. I am talking to you about eternal life. I am talking to you about being able to live life forever. Because one day we are going to check out of this world and we are all going to enter into a different realm. But you either go to perish or you go to everlasting life. Tonight, Jesus is calling you. He wants to give you a long-term staying permit. He doesn't want to give you 1 year after 1 year. He wants to extend your life. He wants to extend your life. The Bible said, I am come that ye might have life. Ye might have life. And as I say, it's so sad when people don't believe God. People don't respect God. People are so disrespectful when it comes to God. But he's the one who holds the extension to your life. I remember one day, I went to the Ministry of Home Affairs. Some people, some Africans had come to the place. I think they were doing them processing. And they couldn't handle the processing. So they started making noise at the office. I mean, police came, security. It was a whole kind of thing. The minister was forced to call for a meeting to meet those people. During that same era, I went there. It was processing. So when I went there, it was something I went for. Then the supervisor of the department that, issues, approves the permit. The lady said, hey, he said, how are you? I said, I'm fine, thank you, madam. Somebody who's processing you, you have to be careful. I said, somebody who's processing you, you have to be careful. Someone who gives you life, someone who gives you air to breathe, somebody, the Bible says that do not be afraid of the one who can kill the body and cannot send the soul anywhere. He said, be rather afraid of the one who can kill the body and can take the soul and dump it in hell. The Bible says you should rather be afraid of God rather. I tell you, I'm finishing. Don't be in a hurry to go. I'm finishing. God is calling you. Don't miss your opportunity. Don't miss an extension of life tonight by the blood of Jesus. So the lady said, you know, I've been watching you. All these years you come and we tell you processing. Because they have now treated another group of people, another class of people processing, and they have said, we are not being processing. We refuse processing. They started making noise in the office. So, me, my processing, that was quiet. Yes, madam. Yes, thank you very much. Next week. Okay. Thank you very much. So, can I call you? Good morning. Yes, please. Thank you very much. She said she was watching and has been watching me and has watching me. And she said, as they tell me, go and come, go and come. She said she watched me. I never one time did anything for them to feel like the guy is frustrated. If only you knew that it takes the blood of Jesus to extend your life. If only you knew. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, give me that scripture, I'm closing. He said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. They had to beat him. Blood had to be shed. You see, that's the essence of Jesus coming. Jesus came to enhance this 1 year, 6 months, this thing. The Bible says that any soul that sins, that soul shall die. So death came because of sin. And when we ask for sin, every day we sin. As for today, all of us have sinned today. Yeah. Every time you sin, that's what sin. Sin is like, it's like breathing air. So if God was going to look at that, extension will not come. You'll be processing until somebody takes you back to your country. Thus thou art, and thus shalt thou return. But God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. So the Bible said that Jesus was wounded. When you are wounded, blood comes out. Yeah. People don't understand why Jesus had to die. Why did Jesus come and die? Because his blood was necessary. His blood was the blood that could give us eternal life. Permanent contract. Residence permit permanent. You naturalize as American citizen. You naturalize as Guyanese. You naturalize. You are now Guyanese. There's no time limit to how long you're going to stay here. Jesus is the one. It's through his blood that God has extended our life and has given us eternal life. Tonight, the blood of Jesus is available. I said, tonight, the blood of Jesus is available. Your life is about to be extended. If you don't know Jesus, Jesus is calling you. He has the stamp. It's in red ink. He wants to stamp on you, on your forehead, on your heart, to extend your life and that you will live forever. Citizen of heaven. And if you were to drop dead today, it's only good news because finally you have been processed. I said, finally you have been processed for a long-term visit, a long-term visa. It's not like you are going and you are returning another day. No, there are many people, ladies and gentlemen, there are many people who they go through near-death experiences. They die and then they go. I was even looking at one day, just before I came to preach, Morgan Freeman's The Search for God. There's a documentary by Morgan Freeman in a series, about 5 series, The Search for God. He was talking to a guy who experienced near-death experience. He said he drowned or something, and then he could see that he was out of his body. The body was in the water, and he was out. He said he saw bright light. He saw bright light. And the bright light actually led to a voice that told him, it's not your time, go back. You know how many people, when they move to the other side, want to stay there? But then they say, no. Your visa is a short-term visa. Go back. Wrong place. You are not ready yet. If you don't have life eternal, you are in danger. Tonight, the blood of Jesus is here to wash your sins away, to extend your life, and give you a permanent stay in heaven. The Bible says, he that believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting. It lasts forever. If there is any lasting, this one is forever. The life that Jesus gave through his blood lasts forever. I want you to stand to your feet tonight. Hallelujah. Long life, eternal life, everlasting life. Everlasting life, eternal life. It's available tonight. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Tonight, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. The blood has already been shed. It means forgiveness is also available. It means long stay in heaven is available. You are not going to go to heaven and then an angel is going to say, no, no, you don't belong here. Or just enjoy for 1 hour and just go back. No. God wants to make you a permanent citizen of heaven. Every eye closed, every head bowed. You are here tonight. You are not saved. The reason why we came here tonight to be in this open air is to give you the opportunity not to be living a frustrated life. To have a life that you are secured. You don't have to worry. Tonight, you want to say, Bishop, please, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want the blood of Jesus to wipe away my sins and extend my life. I want my life to be extended. There are some of you here, you are not serious with God. Tonight, God wants to extend your life. You see, if you are not serious with God, he also is not serious with you. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But tonight you want to say, Bishop, I want to make a decision. I want to be serious with God. 25th of July, 2018. What a night to decide to give your life to God. To decide to be serious with God. To decide that, you know what, I don't just want a church membership. I just don't want a church membership stay that I come to church and that's all that I want. I want to be close to God. I want to have a deeper relationship with God. Bishop, tonight, my right hand is out. Please pray with me. I need Jesus. I want Jesus. The blood of Jesus, the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary, will never lose its power. It's still flowing. It's still clearing people, giving people long status, long life status, extending lives, extending lives. People who are just about to die, God has extended their life. Tonight is your turn. Bishop, pray for me. I need the blood of Jesus to extend my life, my spiritual life, my eternal life. I want it. I need it. Tonight. If you're here like that, you want me to pray with you? Just lift up your right hand. Wherever you are, every eye closed and I will do so. Bishop, please pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus tonight. Wherever you are, I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. Bishop, please pray for me. I need Jesus. I want Jesus. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. Extend your life. Apply for extension tonight. Let the blood of Jesus extend your life beyond what anything else can extend your life. God bless you. God bless you. I see all those hands. If you lifted up your hand, I want to ask you to come to the front. Come. Come quickly. Come to me. Come tonight. Come. I want to pray for you. Clap for them as they come. 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 Come to the cross. Sing it. Hey. Oh, clap for them. Oh, are your hands for you? Are your hands for you? Hey, why are you not clapping your hands? Let him have his way. Let him have his way. Come on to Jesus. Give him your life today. Come on. Come on to Jesus. Give him your life tonight. Oh, are you clapping? Yeah. Come on to Jesus. You see, you may be in a congregation, you still need to come. You know in your heart that you are not serious with God. You know it. I don't have to say it, but you know it. The Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord, our spirit testifies with the Spirit of the Lord that we are the sons of God. If you are true, bona fide, born again, spirit-filled, righteous living Christian, you know it. This is another opportunity I'm giving you. Come very quickly before I pray. Bishop, I want to become serious with God. I want to decide to be serious. From tonight, I am going to give my all and follow God. You want me to pray with you because of that decision you are making? Come to the front very quickly. I want to pray. Come on. Come on. I'm waiting. Jesus is calling you. He wants to call you to a deeper place of seriousness. Come, don't be shy, don't be afraid. Come to Jesus tonight. Today. Let him have. All right. If you are here in front, close your eyes, lift up your two hands. The Bible says something very simple. The Bible says that it is with your heart you believe, and that with your mouth you confess unto salvation. Tonight, if you believe with your heart, then what you need to do is just to confess with your mouth. And the Bible says you will be saved. So I want you to pray this prayer after me. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died. I believe Jesus was buried. And I believe on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. He shed his blood to extend me and my life. I believe Jesus is alive right now. And therefore I open my heart. And I personally invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to take over my life. From tonight, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I am born again. My name is written in the book of life. And I believe I am now a child of God. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus that has made me whole again. Thank you for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.